Extend your life with Extendovine. Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesin, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've fallen and I can't get up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Back on the Officer Jack McLam program. I'm that old retired cop, Jack McLam, here with you. And Bruce is on the line now, folks. So let's go to Bruce McCarthy. Bruce, are
I'm
you
here.
There, brother?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing, Jack?
Good. Very well, brother. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank
Between
you for having
10,
me.
Between 10 and 11 o'clock. Okay. Bruce? I want to kind of like hand the microphone to you and have you start and tell us about your background and tell us about your book, okay, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, as far as my background, I guess I started my quest on an understanding of this subject a little over 30 years ago when I was living back in Maine. I was in retail food service, and someone had given me some information on a newspaper, The Spotlight, and I subscribed to it for a year, and during the course of subscribing to that newspaper, there was an ad in the back, the classified section. And I responded to it, and it had to do with monetary realism, which was said to have only been in, available to be learned from St. Louis. Dave Wilbur had put an ad in. And I got an audio tape by the late Merrill Jenkins. And within a couple minutes, I began to realize how it was that so few people are able to dominate and control so many. Up until that time, I was interested in who was doing what to whom. When I began to realize how they were able to accomplish it, I became far more interested in that subject than in the who. Because I believe that if a person wants to extricate himself, or if a society would like to extricate itself from this madness, you first off have to understand how the madness is being perpetrated. And
yeah.
Where the power comes from.
And, true.
The ultimate power on this planet, I believe, is a symbiotic relationship that has been created between governments, we'll call those states, nation states, and banking. I don't believe that there is a power on earth, I'm not discounting the power that comes from heaven, but I don't believe there's a power on earth that is manifest that is more powerful than the symbiotic relationship between government and banking. And so consequently, the book that I've written, which is my latest work, I haven't written anything since 1990, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder, is geared to opening the eyes of the public to the fact that there is a contest, and it's been raging for a few hundred years, between lawful money and legal plunder, or what I call legal plunder, which is a takeoff on the word legal tender.
Yeah.
Legal tender and lawful money are not the same thing. Legal tender is only an offer to pay money. And the lawful money has got to be defined as some substance that is being used as money. In the United States, we were to be using silver and gold as money pursuant to the coinage
right.
Act of April 2nd.
That's what Article 1 of the Constitution said.
Right. And the Constitution
yeah.
prescribes that that's the only thing that the states can use as money. And the Coinage Act was written subsequent to the Constitution. It was written in 1792 and provided for a hard money system. And that hard money system basically goes all the way back to ancient Israel, and all the way back, of course, to our European forefathers from ancient Israel to Europe. All of Western Christendom used
yeah.
silver and gold, and for its small purchases, it used copper or brass, which is primarily copper.
Yeah.
Those were the monetary substances of Christendom. Throughout history,
yeah. uh-huh.
we've had a war in the United States almost since the Constitution was written. In fact, it even started a little bit before the Constitution. We've had a war with what most people call paper money advocates. And I make the distinction that paper has never been used as money. I mean, people use that word frequently, paper money, but never in history, to my knowledge, has paper been used as the money itself. Because
right.
paper is too heavy. Just imagine how much paper it would take, let's say toilet paper, which is a pretty useful commodity. How much toilet paper would it take to buy a new SUV? Take a lot.
Right.
The numbers on a $100 bill don't represent a quantity of paper, do they? They represent a quantity of intangible credit.
Right. Credit.
The numbers aren't connected to anything. So it's actually credit that people are using as if it were money. And we still measure it in dollars. Dollar was the decimal system, dollars and cents, that we weighed gold and silver in. The United States was the first of the present community of nations to actually adopt the decimal system for weighing its metals. And most people are familiar with the Avoirdupois system or the Troy system, either one, but there's a third system. The third system was decimal, all dollars and cents. The coins were actually weighed in dollars, in fractions thereof. In the decimal system, you have 100% to the whole, and in the decimal system, you have 100 cents to the dollar. And statutorily, all of our gold and silver was to be first off weighed in grains in the Troy system, grain being a
right.
small unit of measure, but then you would convert those to the decimal system, and it was the decimal weight that was actually stamped on the coin for ease of mathematical computation in daily trade.
Right.
So, I I kind of became enthused about getting back into this subject when we had the Wall Street crisis that commenced somewhere around 2008, and people came to me and said, you know, if you don't get this subject out there now, I don't think you're going to find anybody who's really as interested in this subject as they ought to be, because now people are starting to look at this economic mess and starting to ask some serious questions as to how we got to where we are. And
yeah,
it has been a long process.
Very true, Bruce.
So what we've tried to do with this book, it's a very short book, as you notice. You've got a copy of it. It's only 92 pages long. It's not an easy read. It's written in language that people can understand, but it's a very heavy subject, trying to get this subject conveyed in as few pages as this book possesses. I told the reader at the very beginning that this promises to be a very fast ride.
Right. And
what we've attempted to do is we've attempted to define the basic terminology of economics, like the word money, the word dollar, the word payment, the word note, the word debt, the word credit. These words are used in day-to-day communication, but almost nobody can define them, even the experts. And I've even picked on a couple experts early on in the book. George W. McKinney, Jr., for example, was one of them.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned him in one of the chapters. In fact, it's chapter 3, which we call The Blind Guides of Misinformation, because we're laboring under many, many myths. Economics is a giant myth right now. But George W. McKinney retired from New York Serving Trust Company back in July of 1982, and he admitted that he couldn't even define the word money. And that's a word that everybody in the audience uses day in and day out, and they've been using it since they were probably 5 years old. And we have leading economists who admit that we can't even define the word.
Right. Yes. Define it according to the Bible and define it according to the Constitution. We don't do that anymore. We've thrown out the Constitution of the United States.
Right. In fact, if we go even back to the Bible, if we look at the word, the Hebrew word in the old scriptures, the word for money was the word kesef, K-E-C-E-P-H is how we would spell it in our
right.
alphabet. And it was the same word for silver. The word for silver in the Bible and the word for money is the same word. And there are several hundred instances where that word is used, and there are only a couple exceptions to that word. Silver and money were one and the same. In fact, that's what Abraham used to purchase land to bury his wife Sarah 4,000 years B.C.
That's right.
And it has been with us. I mean, we have used those stable substances as money for thousands of years, and they have worked. And the only reason people think that they don't work is because we live in a world now where credit, which is manufactured out of nothing by the banking system, is able to, with the banking system's prowess and power and mighty pen, they can acquire silver and gold or anything else, including our labor, for just a stroke of a pen. And they can manipulate the so-called price of things up and down with their imaginary credit. The problem is the credit, not the gold or the silver or labor or wood or tea or tobacco or anything else. It's not the substances that are at fault. It's the fact that we've got a credit system and we've got people who are licensed to steal from everybody else with credit that they get for nothing.
Okay, Bruce, hang on to your thoughts now. We're going to take another break on Republic Broadcasting Network. Some very important messages. We'll be back with Bruce McCarthy and his wonderful book, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder. Get your pencils and papers, folks, because we're going to give out how you can order that book in a few minutes here.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Okay, folks, we're back on the Officer Jack McLam program. We're going to go right back to Brother Bruce McCarthy. Brother Bruce, go right ahead.
Well, okay. I almost don't know where to start. I guess, but where we had kind of left off, we had mentioned how various basic economic terminology has been rendered absolutely absurd over the course of time. And I don't say that lightly. That's a fact. The language, the vocabulary of economics does not make any sense. And the reason it doesn't is because the vocabulary that we have today is a carryover from the monetary system that we used to have under the Constitution. And the fact is we don't have a monetary system, and we haven't had in the United States anything in the way of money since 1965. The United States, after it demonetized silver during the 1960s, entered what we would simply call a system of 100% pure credit. The Federal Reserve admits that. They admit that in their own publications. In fact, I am prone to quoting from the Federal Reserve, even though we tend to think of the Federal Reserve as being our adversary. They put out a tremendous number of books and publications in which they admit what they're doing. And one almost has to admire and marvel at the fact that they admit so openly in some of these publications exactly how the fraud works. And the fact that we have a system that operates on 100% pure credit, in fact, keeping our money healthy, published by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York back in 1977, said on page 12, quote, this is the whole sentence now, quote, and you recall the Federal Reserve System works only with credit, period. It doesn't work with money. It doesn't work with cash. It works with credit. And the word credit comes from the Latin word credere, which means to believe. The system works with belief, or faith, if you prefer to use that word. We find that word in the Bible at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yeah, like hollow silver and gold, and the evidence of things not seen, yeah, like real money. The system works on just raw numbers of absolutely nothing, and it's been doing that since we demonetized gold and silver. Nothing was monetized to replace them. And so from about 1965 till the present day, there has been absolutely no money in circulation in the United States, anywhere. And when people keep insisting that there's money out there, all they're doing is concealing the fraud on behalf of the banking system. The banking system has come out and told you there isn't any money out there. In fact, the Federal Reserve will tell you, even also the New York Federal Reserve Bank, in a publication called I Bet You Thought, that banks don't keep cash in checking accounts. And they don't transfer cash or currency when acting on a check's instructions. Well, look, if banks don't keep cash in checking accounts, how could anybody cash a check? They don't. In fact, if any of your listeners were born after 1947, they have never cashed a check. Ever. There isn't any cash there. All they do is swap numbers from one account to another account. It's just raw numbers. You see, cash was money. You know, Curlin versus Young. There isn't any money in circulation. The United States is not using any tangible thing as money, and hasn't been since 1965. So we're not in a monetary collapse. We're in a credit collapse. And those might not exactly be the same thing, and they may not lead to the same results. But it took a long time to get us to where we are. As Professor Stuart Crane used to say, it took a long time to make us this dumb. It's no accident. Also took a long time to get rid of America's money.
Right.
We've been fighting against the banking families, the powerful banking families of Europe, the Rothschilds being in the lead. They started waging war with our forefathers back in the 1700s. And the war was whether we were going to have a credit system run by bankers, or whether we're going to have a monetary system that was owned by the people. And when I say the people, I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about the people of the United States themselves. Because the power of original issue of our coinage, the power of original issue was in the hands of the people in their individual capacities. If you and I wanted to go out to California, you know, with a gold rush, you know, and mine gold, we could take that raw gold and we could take it to a treasury office and they would mint it for us and charge us 0.5% of the metal for the cost of turning that into a 90% pure regulated coin. And then we would take that coin and we would be the first person to spend it into the marketplace if we did this constitutionally. And we'd be the first issuer, just like we could be the first issuer of wheat or fish or lumber or any other commodity.
Uh-huh.
It was not a prerogative of government. But you'll notice now that we've got all kinds of so-called monetary reformers. And I mentioned this to you before in another program. We've got so many monetary reformers who are clamoring for the elimination, supposedly, of the Federal Reserve. And they're not going to eliminate the Federal Reserve at all. They're going to nationalize it.
Okay, Bruce, I hear the music. We'll be right back with Bruce McCarthy, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder. And Bruce, when we get back, could you tell us how to order the book? We'll be right back with Bruce McCarthy, folks, after these important messages on RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. What are you thinking? If you're thinking preparedness, be at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, at the Downtown Expo Center. Learn how to grow your garden, drive down energy costs, survive inflation, prepare your home, and much more. Meet KWTO's instructors, Vincent Finelli and Mark Wright. Tickets only $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. Attend John Stadmiller's What's in Store for You and John Moore's Abrupt Climate Change and 35 other seminars at the next Get Prepared Expo. September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, Downtown Expo Center. Talk with pros on surviving, preparing, defending, and thriving. Grammy winner Steve Voss will perform live. Tickets just $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. RBN annual subscribers attend one day free. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD. 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy.
We're back on the Officer Jack McLam program. We're going to go right back to Brother Bruce McCarthy. Brother Bruce, go ahead and continue on where you left off.
Okay. Did you want me to give the address as far as where they could get the book?
Hello, Bruce?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, brother.
Okay.
Good.
Allison said that I was just a little bit close to my microphone and that I was making some rather pronounced S's, so I kind of backed away from it. Okay.
Okay.
When we left, you had asked if I would give the address as to where people could get the book. Is that, you want me
right
to go to that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Please do that, brother.
They can order that directly from me, Bruce G. McCarthy, at 33563 State Route, or State Route, depending on where you come from. 537 Graysville, Graysville, Ohio, 45734. And they can order this book for, we'll call them $10. That will include postage and handling. Solomon said that the making of many books was endless and a weariness of the flesh, and I hate to add to the plethora of books that are already out there, but there is virtually nothing out there that really presents a biblically sound, constitutionally sound, hard money position. And
like your book, Legal Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder.
That's the name of the book, and we make the distinction between what these words mean. even the word lawful and the word legal are not synonyms.
Yes.
The reader will be apprised of that as he reads through this material. The book contains color photos of gold coins, silver coins, Federal Reserve notes, and the progression of how the Federal Reserve notes were changed from being promissory notes to ultimately removing the promise from the notes. They'll also learn, if they don't already know, that Federal Reserve notes from the very beginning were never redeemable. They were only exchangeable for gold. And that the Federal Reserve commenced with a 40% gold reserve requirement, which meant that 60% of their notes were fraudulent at the very beginning. And they knew they didn't have to start with 100% redeemable notes because the people who put this system together knew that the average person was going to trust in the notes and would not demand payment on those notes. And so they could begin with a 40% reserve requirement, and they dropped that requirement to 25% in 1945, and they dropped it to 0% in 1968. I wish I could quote the banker's name, but I had a banker in Toledo who told a friend of mine that he learned more in the first 15 pages of this book than in all of the college courses he took to become a banker.
Yeah.
So listen,
Brother Bruce, would you give out that address again? Because
Sure. Some
people may not write very fast. So give it slow. Give it slow again, Bruce.
Okay. My name is Bruce G. McCarthy, McCarthy. The address is 33563 State Route 537, Graysville, Graysville, Ohio, 45734.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Go right ahead.
So the book is laid out in 21 chapters. The chapters are short. Hopefully they all connect well. I think they do. And as I mentioned earlier, we fairly early in the book, we begin defining our terms because it's important. It's imperative to be able to define the words that we're using in order to be able to understand and unravel the fraud.
Yeah.
And so we define money. People might think that they know how to define money, but I think they're going to find that they don't, as a general rule. And I'll quote the Federal Reserve, just so people may not think this thing through a little bit more clearly. The Federal Reserve says, for example, and I quote this in the book, for one thing, it is not clear how best to define money. Economists have not been able to agree on the best definition of money. And that's a statement from the Federal Reserve Board of Governors back in 1974 in one of the books from which I quote.
I see.
The word dollar is another word that people don't know how to define. And I realize that there are people in your audience, of course, who are not the average and will know that the word dollar refers to a certain weight and fineness of silver, 412.5 grains, 90% pure silver. That is a dollar weight of silver pursuant to the Coinage Act. But I'll quote Ben Bernanke, who on the 1st of March this year said in answer to Congressman Ron Paul, he said, quote, this is Ben Bernanke now. He says, my definition of a dollar is what it can buy. Now, here's the supreme banker, the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Doesn't provide a legally binding or a lawfully binding definition for the word, but only what his opinion is of the word. And that's so common.
Yeah.
I had a banker back in Maine years ago who was the president of a First National Bank in Bar Harbor, Maine. And I had written to him and I said, people tell me that a dollar is the money of the United States, but when I press them further, they tell me it's the unit of the money. Can a unit of the money become the money for which it is the mere unit? And he wrote back to me and he says, quote, in my opinion, a dollar is both the money and the measure of it. Well, that's absurd.
That's not a good definition of money. is it?
No, I mean, it's like gallons are how you measure the fuel, and gallons are the fuel. So we go to the gas station, and we fill the tank in our car with gallons of gallons. So we're dealing with people who are weaving, intentionally or otherwise, myths. And you can't find your way to the truth if you're going to deal in definitions that are mythological.
Yeah.
And so in order to fathom this subject, we do take the time, not an inordinate amount of time, to provide the reader with a substantial definition of these words, like the word pay and payment. There's almost no one who can define the word payment. They think they can. But I rely upon Sizemore versus E.T. Barwick Industries, where the court adequately defined the word. And people might be amazed to find out that in the United States, there's no such thing as a taxpayer. When you send a check or Federal Reserve notes to Internal Revenue, you don't pay anything. In fact, when you go to the grocery store to get groceries, you don't buy the groceries. You're not the buyer. You're actually the seller. In fact, I had a real estate transaction back in Maine back in 1982, and it may have been one of the first, if not the first, real estate transaction written right side up since we demonetized gold and silver. And in that transaction, I was the person who had a store, a business, and I was the one who had the power to buy. And the other party who was acquiring my place was going to be using commercial credit. And the person who's using commercial credit, whether it's in the form of a check or Federal Reserve notes, he's not the buyer. He's the seller. And
yeah.
I'll just say it very succinctly, you can buy notes, like Federal Reserve notes, you can buy them and you can sell them, but you can't buy anything with them. And by the time a person gets through with this book, he'll understand why that is so. I had a real estate transaction here in Ohio back in 2005, and we didn't sell the house. We bought Federal Reserve notes. It was a bad deal. I understand that. But we were the only party in that transaction who had the power to buy anything, because we were the only party with an asset, a tangible commodity. It was a house. And the other party was just offering numbers of the banking system. And real estate company owner, he smiled. He even laughed at me. He says, "You have to prove that one to me." And it didn't take but 2 minutes. And within 2 minutes, I had proven to him that I was who I said I was. I was the buyer. I wasn't the seller. And he said, "Write it into the contract." And he was dead serious. In fact, in that contract, five of us acknowledged participation in fraud. Had five signatures to that. In that Federal Reserve notes, we're not federal. Embrace no reserves. We're not notes. We're not cash. We're not currency. We're not dollars. We're not money. We all five people acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And so that now creates the law of a contract, what we've agreed to. And
yeah.
We all agreed to the truth. And it's kind of nice. And so I did that for several reasons, one of which, of course, was to avoid capital gains.
Uh-huh.
So the truth is empowering. And
the truth is in your book, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder, right, Bruce?
I certainly hope so. I mean, if there are any errors in there, I will certainly change them. But I believe that people will come to an understanding of this issue in this book like they have never understood it before. And I'm up against an awful lot of competition. There are a lot of books out there and a lot of DVDs.
Yeah.
But the position that's being advocated, Jack, by virtually everyone, is that they want to nationalize the Federal Reserve, and our problems will not go away by nationalizing a criminal syndicate.
That's right.
What we're talking about here in this book.
The crime syndicate.
Right.
Yeah.
And the crime isn't that the Federal Reserve is privately owned. People make a big thing out of that, and that certainly is an important issue because most people are not aware that the Fed is private. But that private ownership of a bank is not criminal. If private ownership was a crime, we'd have to give up our homes and our cars, you know, because we'd be committing crimes to think that we owned them. Private ownership is not what makes banking criminal. It's what banks do that's criminal. They violate the law of just weights and measures prescribed in the Bible. They violate the law with regards to usury. They steal, and they raise up false reports. and that makes banking an egregious crime in the sight of God. But private ownership is not the criminal activity. People think that if we turn it over to Congress and we let Congress do it to us, that the problem will go away. And that just simply isn't so.
Not true.
In fact, they even claim that they're going to get rid of interest, but if you look at the bill that is presented to the House by Dennis Kucinich this year, it provides for 8% interest that's going to be charged to everybody else, but the federal government is going to get these things for nothing. I'd love to have such a deal. But nobody will let me do it because it's criminal.
Right.
And so what I try to emphasize as best I can under the circumstances that I'm trying to do it, I'm trying to convey to the listener that when a party can create principle out of nothing, that's theft. Whether they charge interest on it or they don't charge interest on it, the creation of principle out of nothing and making somebody else work for it, that is theft.
That's criminal.
That's what these people want the government to do. They want the government to get United States notes or U.S. money or social credit, whatever the word they want to use. They want government to have the exclusive prerogative to steal. And I don't believe our founding fathers gave to government the power to steal. I can't find it there. It's certainly not in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5.
That's true, brother. And Abraham Lincoln printed his Lincoln greenbacks, and they murdered him for doing that, the international banksters.
Yeah.
And then John F. Kennedy printed his own notes to go around the international bankers, the Federal Reserve System, and they murdered him too. So there's two presidents that they murdered for changing the system and going around the bankers and the Federal Reserve System, and they murdered both of those men, Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy.
But the United States notes, while they were skirting the central bankers of their day or the bankers of their day, what they were doing is they were horning in on the banker's game, and that's why they were killed. What they were doing was not constitutional, wasn't lawful.
But hey, brother, would you speak up a little bit?
Well, I'll try. When Abraham Lincoln issued those U.S. notes back in 1862, everybody who voted for them in the House and in the Senate knew that they were violating the Constitution when they issued those. And that's the first time the federal government ever dared to try to issue legal tender notes. Since the Constitution had been ratified, no legal tender notes had circulated in the United States until 1862. That was over 70 years they waited.
Yeah.
And the only reason they were doing it then was because there was an emergency called the War for Secession. And they felt that the emergency justified them doing it, just as 9/11 provided the justification for the Patriot Act. Unfortunately, it was an unconstitutional act. But Lincoln promised to pay on those notes once the war was over, and the Treasury had gold and silver coming back into it once again. Then there was to be the resumption of specie payment on those notes.
Yeah.
But we never should have had any notes in circulation to begin with.
Right.
Even if they're 100% redeemable, there is no provision in the Constitution even for 100% redeemable gold and silver certificates. The power is not there.
Right. It's supposed to be just gold and silver.
In coin form only. In fact,
coin form only.
You remember back in 1988, remember when Judge Robert Bork was being considered for Supreme Court justice?
Right.
And that was back in 1988. And he was being asked, I think it was Senator Kennedy who asked him, if you become a Supreme Court justice, are you going to overturn any previous Supreme Court decisions? And Mr. Bork He says, no. He says, upon reconsideration, he says, I wouldn't overturn any previous decisions because, he says, they've become an integral part of the fabric of our society. Take, for example, the legal tender cases. And I was right on the edge of my seat, Jack, when he said that.
Yeah.
He says, anyone can see from the debates in the Constitutional Convention that the framers of the Constitution intended that there be no legal tender.
Right.
None. That means no gold certificates, no silver certificates, no U.S. notes, no federal.
Okay, Bruce, hang on to that thought. And when we get back, would you give that address out again where we can order your book?
Sure.
We'll be right back with Bruce McCarthy, folks. Remember, next hour is open phones on the Officer Jack McLam program. And next hour, I'll give out.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
We've got about 2 minutes left of this hour, and let's go right back to Bruce McCarthy. And Bruce, would you give out that address again where we can order your book from?
Okay, it's at 33563.
Hello, Bruce?
Yes, can you hear me, Jack?
Yes,
hello?
I can.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Bruce.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay, 33563, State Route. Or route, I'm from Maine, you know, 537, Graysville, G-R-A-Y-S-ville, Graysville, Ohio, 45734.
Okay, and it's Bruce McCarthy, M-C-K, capital C-A-R-T-H-Y, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, Bruce, we've only got about a minute left, so go ahead and wind things up if you want to, brother. We'll give you that last minute.
Okay. Well, I guess we were talking about Robert Bork there just a little while ago there and how he was being considered for the Supreme Court, and he brought up the legal tender cases.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed out that it was the intent of the framers to prohibit all legal tender. I wish people would understand that, the people who are called monetary reformers today, because here's a Supreme Court, or potential, he was to have been a Supreme Court justice, who could see that that was the intent. There was to be no legal tender in this country. No paper, so-called paper money, not even gold and silver certificates, 100% redeemable. And there are reasons for that, and I cover that in the book as to why the framers would not allow for that either. But he said that anyone who would go to Washington and think that they would overturn the legal tender cases, he said, quote, should be accompanied by a guardian, which suggests to me that he's a realist. He knows that America has no intention of repenting and going back to hard money. It's a pity, but the reason we have the mess we have is because we don't have a monetary system. We have a credit system.
Right.
And the credit system allows certain people who can create the credit out of nothing to steal from the rest of the population who must labor to earn it. It's really quite that simple.
The Federal Reserve System.
The Federal Reserve System is licensed to steal. And it's not just the Federal Reserve banks, it's the local banks downtown. They're part of that system as well.
Yes.
But all the real estate in the United States, if I can use that word real estate, it's all pledged for private and public debt. And the debt doesn't even exist because there isn't a bank in this country that has made a loan, a tangible loan of anything to anyone. Banks don't lend money. They rent promises to pay money they do not have.
Yeah.
And the people out here must labor by the sweat of their brow to pay back those numbers plus interest. And it's the labor of the working man out here that imparts psychological value to numbers of absolutely nothing called dollars that the banking system creates on its books with a mere stroke of a pen, and takes title to what people out here produce. If people can't see anything wrong with that, then they have a difficult time understanding basic truths. But this is a system of confiscation. It's a system of theft. And there are certain people who are licensed to do it.
Yes. Well, thanks, Bruce, for being on with us today, brother.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
And God bless you, and thank you for writing your book, Lawful Money versus Legal Plunder. Thank you, Bruce, for doing that.
Thank you, Jack.
I've got my copy right here, and I'm working my way through it.
Good.
God bless you, brother. I hear the music, so we're totally out of time for this hour.
Okay.
God bless you, Bruce. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, folks. When we get back, the first thing we're going to do is give out that call-in number to call in on the second hour of Open Phone, okay?
The next round of the worst financial crisis in one